You've tuned in to Two Blind Squirrels today. So sit right back and see what Brad and Chaz will say. This show's a lot better than a lot of things today. And here's just to name a few. It's better than losing all of your better than files.
It's better
than stumbling clumsily down dark movie aisles.
It's better
than sticking closely to yesterday's styles.
It's better
than a helpless laptop.
Two blind squirrels in the morning, two blind squirrels at night. You can listen anytime at all, radio on demand, it's alright.
Spiritual SpongeBob, call in people's too much too soon. It's all here. It's all for you.
Two blind squirrels in the morning. Two blind squirrels at night. You can listen anytime at all. Radio on demand. It's all right.
Yeah, baby. That's what I'm talking about. What?
Nothing.
Oh.
Hey, boys. Well, hi there, cutie pie.
Hey, how you doing?
What are you doing in here?
I'm recording.
Oh, that's right. Anyway, listen, I came in here to remind you guys. You've been forgetting to do Ruth Ann's show, Ruth Ann's call-in thing. I really enjoy that every day.
Oh, okay.
And don't forget that today, all right?
We will not forget
I'll have
forget
to come in here and super poke you in the eye.
There's no super poking.
Don't super poke anybody. Please don't super poke anybody.
I got to... Well, yeah. Fine, then. Just don't forget.
Okay, I won't. Wow. Okay.
He's a little crabby.
He's a little crabby. Well, we're not letting him in the show very much lately, so I think he's getting his feelings hurt a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
That and him and the professor are working on something super secret out there. I don't know what's going on.
Oh, okay.
It's kind of scary.
Yeah, no kidding.
Well, speaking of Ruth Ann, let's go ahead. We have forgotten to include her recently.
That's not good.
It's not good. Okay. Because she did all the trouble to do these, and we love them. And then we got in such a hurry with the whole going to get Helen in business. And,
yeah.
So,
go.
Yeah.
Hola all, here is your verse for the day, Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This verse comes from a devotion that I posted on the forum. The gist of it said that we should not be thanking the Lord for all the situations that arise in our lives. But that contradicts it directly what the Lord says in Ephesians. Now I had two objectives to posting these devotions, to get other opinions and on said devotion and to get people thinking. How many times have we sat in church or listened to a podcast and simply nodded our heads in agreement with the pastor's sermon? We don't think about what he's saying or what he's preaching on. We just take it for granted that because he is our pastor or because he's a renowned speaker, that what he's saying is okay.
She called me a renowned speaker? I think she called me a renowned speaker.
Not you.
Oh, sorry.
We cannot allow ourselves to be apathetic like that, lukewarm, so to speak. There are times when we won't agree with what is being preached. But if we sit in our pew, and we all have our pew, and just mechanically nod our heads, we will one day be spewed out of the Lord's mouth like lukewarm water. This is Bonita sending you back to the two squires of squirreldom.
Well, thank you very much, Bonita.
You know, and that's true, though, because didn't we talk about that earlier this week about how with creationism, you know, you can get led astray just because this person,
doesn't just apply to preaching.
Just because he's a science this doesn't mean he's telling the truth.
Too. And why aren't you watching the History Channel?
Oh.
Just take it for granted.
No, get me started.
So, this week on SpongeBob.
It's
time for Spiritual SpongeBob.
What was it?
I'm ready. What?
What are you ready for?
Oh, Spiritual SpongeBob this week.
Yeah, what's it about?
So,
I haven't seen SpongeBob this week.
You hadn't seen SpongeBob this week?
No.
Well, that's just a shame. So, it's on every day.
I know. 16,000 times a day.
So, this week on Spiritual SpongeBob, the sponge in question, named Bob.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just jumped out of my head. What? So him and Patrick reading a magazine.
Okay.
And it says, you want to make lots of money, you want to make $1 million, whatever, you know, mm-hmm, you need to be an entrepreneur, you know, that's how, if somehow they read a magazine, they figured out we need to be entrepreneurs.
Okay. Gotcha. And do they know what that means?
Patrick says, is that going to hurt? No, Patrick. You know, and so somebody explains this, we need to, you know, sell stuff or everything. Well, the thing they love the most is chocolate, so they decide to sell chocolate.
Okay.
But then they discover that they can't sell chocolate unless they lie, unless they embellish what the chocolate does.
Oh,
and so they begin to embellish the chocolate, and then they sell all their chocolates, you know. It'll make you look beautiful. It'll make you look young. It'll make you look skinny, you know, and all this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So,
kind of like cigarettes and beer commercials,
I guess. Yeah.
Same idea.
So, they do this, they embellish and they sell all their stuff and everything. And then at the end, they lose all their money. But that's not the point. The point is, the spiritual point is that you can't sell your soul.
Mm-mm.
For this kind of, for commercialism.
No.
You got to kind of, you got to watch what you're doing, even in your business. You have to operate ethically. And if you're in a business that is founded on not operating ethically, maybe it's time to consider. Sorry.
What was that?
Wow. That was loud. I just went into a little background music.
Oh, okay.
It was too loud. You need to maybe reconsider your line of work.
Oh, okay.
You need to find something that you can do ethically. Now, I'm not saying any particular line of work is unethical.
Right.
There are politicians that I'm sure are completely ethical.
Mm-hmm.
There are car salesmen I'm sure that are completely ethical.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure. I'm pretty sure.
Pretty sure.
And there are pastors who I'm sure are completely ethical.
Uh-huh.
But
there are some who are not.
There are some people who cannot do certain jobs and do them ethically.
Right.
And be successful.
Mm-hmm.
So find a job you can do ethically that you can be successful at, and the Lord will bless you.
Yes, he will.
So that's my spiritual SpongeBob thought of the week. Ta-da!
I'm not going to say a word here.
Yeah, well, anyway, so...
that's why I stay home.
That's why you stay home?
Mm-hmm. That's why I minister to babies.
Because that's what you can do successfully and mm-hmm. be ethical about
mm-hmm.
it?
I minister to babies, and I take care of you, and I take care of Helen, and I take care of my house. And I can do that without distress. Now, see, you say I'm technologically challenged. You know what? I don't need that.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. I was trying to pause it. Go ahead. What were you saying now? I was interested.
No, the reason you say that I'm technologically challenged
yes.
is because, you know, because I, you know, 7 years ago started staying home.
Yes.
So, but that was a very stressful life for me. It was very stressful. I got caught up in all the silly politics and all the craziness of the office. And being mm-hmm. the office manager, you kind of have to be involved in what's going on in the office. I mean, you have to know what's going on. But
you're
you
right.
still get sucked into all the nuttiness.
Mm-hmm.
And it just made me stressed out all the time. I was
you're not stressed out all the time now?
No.
Oh, good.
Hardly ever.
Good.
Never. On a daily basis? No.
Good.
Not at all. Do I seem stressed out? Do I
no.
seem stressed out at all? Am I stressed out? I don't know if I'm stressed out.
No. Sometimes you get... tired.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I get much more tired now than I ever did then. This is much harder work.
But not stressed out.
It's more draining. Children drain the life away from you sometimes. They can just suck the living life out of you.
What are you saying?
They can.
They're parasites?
Yeah. They can just drain every willingness to move anymore.
That doesn't sound like somebody's
you.
Being blessed by keeping children.
I just said sometimes.
Oh.
Not all the time.
Okay. All right, well, here we have a call-in. Call-in.
Okay.
So let's see.
Hi, Brad and Chaz. It's Dan from New Zealand calling. Long time.
Oh, Dan from New Zealand.
All right.
We have to help people through this call.
Okay.
I don't know if you
hard
can hear it all.
Or...
yeah. Dan from New Zealand. All right. This is exciting. He's never called in before.
I'm listening, first time calling. Always wanted to say that, so now I've had my opportunity. I'm ringing. Hopefully this works, first of all. I'm ringing about the spiritual SpongeBob talk that you guys had.
Hey, we just did another one.
Yeah.
We did a spiritual SpongeBob.
Cool, that worked out good.
Yeah,
good timing there.
Sure.
Yeah.
A little while ago. Brad and Faith had a little while ago. And another point that I thought was kind of cool, I was watching a TV program where this little kid was trying to explain the likes of SpongeBob to his grandmother. And that was kind of weird because... you know, sometimes it's hard to explain the love of Christ and the mercy of Christ to people who don't know and who have no idea at all of what it is. And they see SpongeBob and they're like, what is this rubbish? So that's just another idea I thought I'd throw out there. Keep up the good work. It's so nice to finally talk to you guys. And I, again, hopefully this works. Because I'm not really sure it did. Whew. Thanks, guys.
It worked.
That was cool.
Yay.
That was really cool. And you know what? That's
right.
True. Because I thought SpongeBob was rubbish. When I first saw it, I thought, what on earth are you letting her watch that for? It's terrible.
It's a weird concept. It's a show about a sponge that lives on the bottom of the ocean, who's friends with a squirrel from Texas who also lives on the bottom of the ocean. But
in a bubble.
In a bubble dome.
Mm-hmm. Because she can't breathe underwater. Right.
Well, she can as long as she has air.
Well, right. I mean, but she can't breathe in water without the bubble.
Right.
And then she has a big astronaut
bubble head.
Bubble helmet thing on to walk around. Yes, the squirrel, and then and also
Patrick and Squidward.
Patrick, but he's kind of slow. He's a starfish, and Squidward has a bad attitude about life in general.
He does.
He does. He represents the world and how it beats you down.
Yeah,
and then there's the capitalistic
Mr. Krabs. Yeah, runs the Krusty Krab.
Mm-hmm.
Krabby, home of the Krabby Patty.
There you go.
Yeah. But it's true, because SpongeBob really does. He always does the right thing in the end.
Mm-hmm.
And that amazed me. I actually sat down and watched it when I thought, he's right. He actually always does do the right thing in the end. Now, mind you, Squidward does say stupid and you're dumb and you're a moron and, you know, beats him down all the time. But that's life beating us down all the time, you know. And if Helen was characterized by being a kid who took what was on TV and ran with it, yeah, I'd be concerned, but sure, she's not.
No.
So, you know, I'm not too worried about it. And we don't let her watch it by herself.
Hey, it gives it lots of talking points.
Yeah, it's fun because there's always a lesson. Poor Helen. There's always a lecture.
Hey, somebody made the point the other day is we pay taxes for our child to go to public school. Then we pay the Christian school, which we send her. Then we buy curriculum and
teach her homeschooler. At home. Yeah.
So
Brad's like, thanks for poking me in the eye there.
Yeah, three different ways. Because she does math. We do math at home. Matthew C.
Homeschool curriculum. But that's perfect for what I want to talk about today. Thank you for that.
What are you going to talk about today?
Because when he said that to us, I said, oh, isn't that great? You pay for private school, and then you pay, then you went and bought this curriculum to help her to keep up with the private school, and then you pay for taxes for public school, too. Brad's like, yeah, thank you, buddy. Yeah, I love you. But it's true.
Yeah.
But.
So what were you going to talk about?
But I was just concerned about I don't know about public school, because, I mean, my daughter doesn't go there, but kids these days, man, I wouldn't want to be six going to being in first grade now. What they expect you to know in first grade is too much too soon.
Yes, it is too much
too maturity soon. Maturity-wise, I'm talking about. I'm not saying that they're not smart enough, but maturity-wise, their brains are not at a way or even able to handle how some of these concepts even work.
And to actually get them and fully understand them. The kids who are successful and are being, you know, are learning all this stuff are learning a very backwards lesson.
Mm-hmm.
And that is that it's important for me to learn how to add and subtract and be able to spit it back on a test. And this is what's important in life, not morals and ethics and how to behave.
Right.
Because they're going to school. They're being indoctrinated into a society at 6 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're sending them to public school, that's a society without God. That's a godless society.
Uh-huh.
Okay? There's no God in school.
No, even if you live in Sulphur Springs and all the teachers are Christians.
There's no God in school.
There's no God in school.
Not since 1962, there's been no God in school. Now, God's everywhere. Okay? And you take God with you if you go to school.
Right.
You know, God is everywhere. I'm not saying God's not everywhere. But the point is that it's a godless society.
Mm-hmm.
That it has been set up as a godless culture in the school.
Mm-hmm.
So, with that said, you're sending a six-year-old into that environment, and they are learning what? If they're being successful, they're learning that they have to focus on knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And
not wisdom.
Not leaning on wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And so, we're really struggling with that, and we're struggling with having Helen slow down and like, look, you know, A, we understand that you're having trouble with math, so we're trying to help her with that. But at the same time, we're trying to teach her it's not important. What's important is that you do the right thing, that you do your best.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as you're doing that, me and Mommy love you, and we're proud of you.
Mm-hmm.
We're proud of you for making right moral decisions, mm-hmm, not whether or not 2 + 4 = 6 or not.
Right. Which she's had drilled into her head the past 2 weeks. Which is actually behind the curve, because they started multiplication this last week.
Crazy.
I mean, we don't even know all of our addition and subtraction tables yet. So that's why I got this curriculum, was I thought, you know what? We're getting so far ahead. We don't even understand what we've done so far. I mean, I was really realizing that the understanding isn't there. And I was talking to my friend, and her daughter, my best friend's daughter, goes to school with Helen. And they're both young first graders. I mean, their birthdays are in May. So they're the younger of the first graders. So that is part of it, because they're not almost, you know, they're not 7 already.
Mm-hmm.
and they won't turn 7 until school's out or at the end of school. So that makes a difference in the maturity level, but it just seems that they're not understanding what they're doing, and they don't understand why they're doing it. I mean, you know, we're already moving into multiplication, and they don't even fully understand placement value. I mean, you can't move into multiplication if you don't understand placement value. You got to go back to the beginning, you know, and it's very frustrating because I feel like I'm constantly fighting. And I have nothing but good things to say about this school where they go. I think they do a wonderful, wonderful job. Mm-hmm. It's just too fast. It's just too fast. And they can't, you know, yeah, it's a small class. There's 12 kids in our class, but they can't stop for every kid who doesn't get it all the time, you know. And they, you know, they've got standards they have to meet too. I mean, we're not doing, you know, we don't do the state tests or anything, but still, you know, they've got a reputation that they're going to be way smarter than the public school kids. And they already are, but it makes me crazy because I, you know, I don't think that I'm suited to homeschool, but it makes me want to be.
Yeah.
Because I just feel like I'm going to be fighting a battle all the time. I feel like I'm going to be fighting to get her to understand, not just know that 2 + 2 = 4, but why it equals 4.
Right. And that's what we're, and that's what Matthew C. teaches. And that's what, I don't, that's I don't, why we're doing it.
And that's what I never understood. And that's why math makes no sense to me. Nobody ever explained why we do any of it. And so I just memorized a bunch of stuff and nothing ever made sense. I got to geometry and I was like, what? I don't get this at all. This makes sense. My dad was like, well, you just got to do the powers of 10. But my dad is a math genius. And he could add anything in his head, you know, hundreds and thousands in his head. Mm-hmm. And I was like, huh? I don't, geometry makes no sense to me. But that's because I didn't understand everything else before it. Everything builds on it. You know, math builds on itself. You have to understand the beginning in order to understand the end. So I struggle with how much we're expecting our children to learn and if they're really actually learning. Are they really learning? Or are they just putting a bunch of facts in their head for the test and then forgetting it? Like what you did all the time.
That's what I did all the time.
I mean, that's why you can't spell.
And I can't add. I need a spell checker and a calculator and I'm toast.
I mean, it's a sad thing. I mean, the Hebrews taught their children to be wise. Right. The Greeks taught knowledge.
You teach
and we have adapted to the Greek.
You teach a concept and then you teach the child what they can do with that concept.
Yeah.
And they don't teach that.
No,
way.
There's none of that. None of that is anywhere. Unless you homeschool. They don't teach that in private schools. I mean, at least they teach they have
wait, I just
skills.
Heard John Wilkerson yell amen.
What? I heard that all
weird.
The way there.
Yeah.
They teach thinking skills in private school where you don't get that at public school, which is great because you get this abstract thinking skills, you know, destination, imagination, all that kind of cool stuff.
Yeah.
But that doesn't help you with concept. It just makes me nuts.
She's getting tired.
It makes me crazy. What are we expecting a six-year-old to know? She has to write a report. Listen.
Yes.
She has to write a report. A one-page report. This child has to write a one-page report on brown bears.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yep.
Really?
She's six.
She's six.
Now, she can do that.
She's perfectly able
she's
to do that.
She's a good storyteller.
Yeah. I mean, not that great of a speller, but she can do that.
Yes.
But she's very imaginative and can write, you know.
Sure.
Great. You know. But, what, really? When I was in first grade, I was like, huh? What, a page report? I don't even know what that was.
She doesn't have a problem with that. She's got a problem with the math stuff, but she doesn't have a problem with that. But other kids, I can understand other kids who are good at math might have it going like, what? What? You want me to write a whole, you want
can
me to draw a page?
Boys, can you imagine the boys thinking about writing a page? The
about
boys
a bear?
Are probably having a fit.
Nah,
what's it about a bear? Yeah. I mean, we have to make the habitat. You know, we have to, that'll be fun. She's excited about that, building their habitat.
I'm going to make one and let y'all make one because y'all aren't making one the way I want to make one.
This isn't your project.
She wants to super glue grass in there. That's just not what I have in mind.
You know what? I saw a show.
Yes.
The other week where this woman, very powerful businesswoman.
Yes.
She quit her job because they were being all stupid. Anyway, okay. So she, I forgot the word.
Okay. She quit her job because they're being all stupid. Go ahead.
So she's home. She's never home, right? So she's got these grade school kids, and her daughter has this science project for eco. She's doing this eco box, you know, like showing like how to be more green. Okay.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, so sure. She has to make this project for the sun and show how we can be more organic and all this kind of stuff. And so she's because she has no job now, takes all of her controlling nature and puts it into this project. This giant box she's made. She's got soil. She's got the whole
thing. So she did it instead of letting
her child
do it.
And so her and her daughter are standing there. And she's like, you're pushing it too hard. No, don't let mommy do it. And so her daughter's just standing over the side. Now she does this whole thing. And it's beautiful. Okay.
Yeah.
And so they're carrying it down the stairs. She falls on her high heel, which is hysterical because it's just like me. She falls on her high heel. She falls on
the steps. So this wasn't a documentary. Thing,
excuse me.
I mean, this wasn't a show like about a real person. This was
no, but okay. It's real.
I thought it was like an interview with a lady until all of a sudden she drops.
No, this is so normal. I mean, this okay. is so this is me. I was like, all oh, right. This is so me.
So she
and
drops
this
it.
Is you in this instant. So she falls down the slips down the stairs. The whole thing falls. Mm-hmm. The dirt falls all over. She's like, oh no, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. Mommy, I'll fix it. I'll make it better. It's okay, Mom. And her husband is just like rolling his eyes for this whole thing because he sees the craziness of it. Mm-hmm. So while she's trying to pack all the dirt back in there and fix it, her daughter runs upstairs and comes down with the box that she'd made.
Ah.
She's like, what did you make? You made one? Well, when we were supposed to be working on ours, you didn't need me very much. So I made my own.
Cool.
And it was really, I mean, it was simple, but mm-hmm. it was good. You know, it was what a 10-year-old would make.
Oh, that's
and
sweet.
She said, oh, yours is so much better than mine anyway. I like yours so much better, you know, the mom says. And I'm thinking, isn't that the truth? We as parents, we lose our minds and we become completely like this is, and we don't allow our children to, and there it is. We don't allow our children to learn. Mm-hmm. We don't let them do it themselves.
Yeah.
And get and you know, you yelled at me today because you were trying not yelled at me, but you told me to be quiet and get out of the room because Helen was trying to understand this concept and I kept butting in to get her to understand
you tend
it.
To get, when you get frustrated, you tend to give her 3 seconds to understand it when she needs 10. You know,
it's so funny. But, you knew it 5 seconds ago. You knew the
I
answer.
Just told her, I said, you just need to sit there. And look at it until you understand it and let me know. No, I'll just go away.
And he told me, you either need to get out of the room, or you need to be quiet. Because I'm trying to explain it, you know, to help her mm-hmm. understand it better. And it's just making it worse because she needs to stop and think about it and understand mm-hmm. it herself.
Yeah. All right.
How much faster can I talk?
That's pretty fast. Pretty fast. Well, we hope you've enjoyed.
I'm sorry for the poor man.
We hope you've enjoyed this Friday show.
Yeah, oh, we're going out.
One thing
going?
You can do for your children is pray.
Yes, you can every day.
Furry day off. We need to hear with you verse for the day, James 5:16. Confess your faults to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I know that I have spoken about our prayer and praise for him before, but we have many requests out there and many of our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ in need. Your prayers are both coveted and needed by many. So please, I encourage all my squirrel brethren to visit the day forum daily, and even if you don't post a reply, lift those important and sometimes urgent needs to the throne. Bless you all. Now back to those two funny, squirmy, and pesky squirrels, Boo and Chaz.
Except Chaz not here.
That's okay.
Yes, if you go to mylifeministries.org and then you go to forums, you will see prayer and praise.
And you know what? Also, what? If you're praying for your children or your spouse, for that matter, mm-hmm. Stormy O'Martin wrote a wonderful book called mm-hmm. Power of a Praying Parent.
Power of a Praying Parent.
And she also Power of a Praying Husband and Power of a Praying Wife.
Yes, those are great books.
They are wonderful books. And I tell you, mine are torn up.
I'm not big on the scripted prayers. I never have been.
Oh, man.
Prayer books are pretty much out for me. Mm-hmm. And I just have an aversion to them. If it's not in the Bible, you know, I don't want to spend that much energy on it.
Yeah.
But these books really are Bible-based. Yeah. I mean, and they tell you the scriptures. Mm-hmm. And
she's praying and, the scripture.
Yeah,
so.
She's basically praying the scripture. Mm-hmm. And so... So I'm okay with it, and it really guides me more than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
So they're great. So
yeah, I mean, it's not like you're going to read the prayer word by word, but it's really good for guiding you. And when you're looking, you know something's going on in their life, and it helps you. I mean, she's got specific prayers. You're praying for your child's room, mm-hmm. praying over, you know.
And it helps you think of those different.
Learning
it helps you think of those different aspects to pray for, mm-hmm. and it helps you to think of and it teaches you how to pray from Scripture, mm-hmm. to read a Scripture and then pray that Scripture. And so that's what's so exciting about that. But anyway, okay, so do that.
Do that. Pray, please.
Definitely pray. And and post your prayers there in the form if you need to, and we'll definitely pray for you.
And since it's Friday,
boys, we actually have a prayer minister. Gracie's our prayer minister.
Oh,
so
yeah.
she's in there, you know,
she's gonna
making
sing
sure
for
everybody
me, right?
gets prayed for. Yes, she's going to sing for you.
Okay.
send her a squirrel mug and she'll pray for you. I mean, sing for you. Pray for you. Oh, man.
I need prayer too, please.
We all need prayer. All right. Happy Friday, everybody.
Happy Friday. Date your spouse.
Wow. Just throw that out there at the end. That's a whole show.
It's Friday. You should date your spouse.
We'll make that a show next week. Date your spouse.
I'm just saying, it's Friday. We're going out. We always go out on Friday, right?
Save it for the show.
Oh. Vas con Dios.
Vas con Dios, everybody.
This show was sponsored by the grace of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to have your life sponsored by the Creator of the universe, then go to a Bible near you and turn to Romans 3:23, where it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." But what does this mean? It means that before a holy and perfect God, we are all broken. If you know this to be true, then you must admit that you are a sinner. Sin separates us from God and prevents us from being in His presence. Now, once you've admitted you are a sinner, you must be willing to turn from sin. In Romans 6:23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord." So how do we become right with God? We need a way to be forgiven for our sins, and that way is through the sacrifice and raising up of Jesus Christ. In Romans 5:8, it says, "But God demonstrates His own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Through prayer, invite Jesus into your life to become your personal Savior. It says in Romans 10:10, "For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved." It also says in Romans 10:13, "For whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." If you know these things in your heart, then here's an example of what you might pray. "Dear God, I am a sinner and I need forgiveness. I believe that Jesus Christ shed His blood and died for my sin. I'm willing to turn from sin, and I ask Jesus to come into my heart and my life as my personal Savior." Open yourself up to the infinite grace of God, and it will change your life for eternity. This offer is non-refundable. Valid in all states. No further purchase is necessary.